so excited. Christmas is coming. Just a few days away. I've been out shopping. I think I've finished most of my shopping now. Let me look. I still, oh yeah, today I took care of Isabel, Iris, and of course Mel. So that's pretty good. Let's see. Yes, they still have to wrap them though. You know, I want them to look pretty for everybody. Oh, the mall was crowded. I think I'll sit down. Maybe have a cup of tea. Monday. Tomorrow's Monday, right? Okay, gotta do some more grocery shopping. I'm gonna finish planning my Christmas meal because part of my family's coming from Ohio. Boy, am I excited. Then we gotta drive up to Van Ellen and deliver some gifts to some shut-ins that can't get down here for Christmas. Oh, and let me show you this. I got my nephew Trevor this little Santa hat. He's just turning three. So I think maybe I'll be able to get him out to see Santa at the mall and get his photo. Well, that's Monday. Tuesday, we're supposed to ring bells at the Salvation Army. Oh, I hope it's not as cold as last week. 30 degrees out there. And then I'm going to pick up a present for my neighbor. Probably better get back to that grocery list on Tuesday. Yeah, eggnog, pie mix. Find that cream soda that Uncle Joe likes so well. Oh, boy, it makes me tired thinking of it. Whew. It's Tuesday. Okay, Wednesday. Won't be too bad. Get the turkey out. Get the turkey out of the freezer and start to thaw it. It's going to need a few days. Then I'll run back to the mall and get my brother Dan's gift because he's coming. Oh, we're going caroling. Hope it's not another cold night. We're going out with our neighbors, going to a few nursing homes. Whew, the stress of the season kind of gets me down. You know, some people think, oh, it's a happy time, but I'm missing my relatives that have passed on, those that can't be with us this year. Thursday, I'll check on that turkey again, see if he's thawing. Make a cheese dip. Oh, Bill Lent likes my cheese dip, so I'm going to make that for Bill, my neighbor. You think I can get Mel to vacuum and dust? It's Thursday. Oh, it's making me tired. While he's doing that, I can wash the sheets and towels and get that guest room ready. That sounds good. By Christmas Eve, if I have any energy left, I got to call my aunt up in Alaska, call another aunt up in Ohio, make some soup, take to my neighbor who's shut in. Then if I have time, I'll run down to the florist shop because I'd like the table to look pretty. But you know, I hope they appreciate all this work. And oh, I don't know. What's all this about Christmas? It makes me tired.
How are you feeling? Are you ready for Christmas?
Kind of down. Just thinking of all this stuff to be done and only 4 or 5 more days.
Yeah, there's a lot. I'd like to suggest one more thing.
What?
Church.
Oh, I haven't been in a while.
Christmas Eve. We're going to have a big worship service, a lot of celebration. Maybe it can change some things for you.
Thank you. That's a great idea. And I'll invite my family who are visiting too.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
In the scripture lesson this morning from Isaiah, Jerusalem is under siege. Now, I want you to picture a map of that part of the world. Right here, all of this is the Mediterranean Sea with the boot of Italy out here, over here someplace. And here we have Israel today. In the southern end of Israel was called the southern kingdom was called Judah. The northern kingdom was called Israel. And over here is Syria, same place Syria is today. And up here is a little country called Assyria, with an A in the beginning of it. That's probably part of Iraq and things like that. Assyria was the 500-pound, 800-pound gorilla. They got whatever they wanted, and they were throwing their weight around, and they didn't mind throwing their weight around. And Syria and the northern kingdom of Israel were afraid of them. They're afraid, and so they decided they had to go in together to be allies together to stand up against this great big huge country with all their fighters. And they needed more people, and so they wanted the southern kingdom to join them. They needed all the warriors, the men, the wall that they could put together against the possible exploits of this foreign country, this Assyria. But Ahaz, the king of Judah, the southern kingdom, Ahaz wasn't sure about that. He didn't know quite sure whether if he joined them and went to war against Assyria, they'd win. And he didn't want to join a losing cause. He thought maybe better than joining in the north would be to go down to Egypt and get Egypt to sort of back him up. And he could have the big shot down there. The problem with that, of course, is that if they start influencing him, then they take over, and pretty soon he becomes a vassal of Egypt instead of a vassal of Assyria. Well, you know, six of one and half a dozen of the other. Well, Syria and Israel want him so badly to join, they decide the only way to get him is to convince him. And so they attack. Now, I'm not sure exactly how using up your men in an attack helps, but they attack, and they were able to take the country of Judah, and they come up to the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a walled city, and they can't break in. And so they begin to lay siege to the city of Jerusalem. The people in Jerusalem are safe enough, but they're huddled behind their walls, and all they have to eat is siege food. They have they have lots of water, but the only food they have is what they were able to gather together. And eventually, that's going to run out. And so the people of Israel are shaking, as the scriptures say, are shaking like leaves in the trees before a wind. They're concerned with all this stuff that is happening and all this stuff is going on. And in the midst of all this political turmoil that's going on, there's the theological issues. Where is God in all of this? Is not Israel supposed to be the place where God is where God is going to provide a son of David to be on the throne of David forever? And is not Jerusalem the seat of the temple of God? Is God's not place not there in the temple, in the city of Jerusalem? Is God not on our side in this siege? And Isaiah says that he believes so. And so he comes to Ahaz, and he tells Ahaz not to do anything at all, that he is to do nothing, because this destruction will not happen. It says it will not take place. And that Ahaz has a choice. He can stand firm in his faith, or he can fall. He has no choice but to stand firm or to fall flat on his face. And then, for good measure, God offers Ahaz a sign. High as the heavens, low as the sea. He doesn't care what you want. Anything at all, Ahaz, ask me and I'll give it to you. And Ahaz sort of self-righteously says, oh, I would never ask of a sign of the Lord. And Isaiah tells him, well, the Lord's going to give you one anyway. Unto you a child will be born, born of a virgin. And he will be called Emmanuel. And before he's old enough to tell right from wrong, now, you know that a two-year-old could tell the difference between right and wrong. They don't like it, and they usually do the wrong, but they can tell the difference. So before this child is old enough to tell the difference between right and wrong, he's going to be eating not siege food, not bread and water, but he's going to be eating curds and honey. Curds and honey are the produce of a popular and a prosperous country. It's not a country that's under siege. He's telling him that this child will be born of a virgin, and this child will eat curds and honey before he's old enough to tell the difference between right and wrong. King Ahaz has to choose. He has to choose between doing what God has told him to do. He has to choose following God's timetable, God's plan, or doing what he wants to do, go down to Egypt and find his defense down there. Either way, he's in trouble if he doesn't do the right thing. Have you ever felt like you were under siege like that? That everything around you was falling down? Have you ever felt under siege by Christmas? That's what Linda was talking about here. Have you ever felt under siege by the merchants and the advertisers that are attacking all the time, the TV commercials that are scaling the walls of your life? Every time you turn around, they're trying something new to get to you. The credit card is the Trojan horse here. They want you to think that you're not really spending any money. It's not really there. I mean, if you use your credit card, you didn't see it leave, did you? You didn't experience any shortfall. It's not gone at all. But then, of course, January happens. And that's when the Trojan horse suddenly comes alive and all the disruption and the pain and the sorrow come out of it. Then there's society throwing the Rudolph and the Red-Nosed Reindeer and How Frosty Saved Christmas and Santa Claus movies. They throw them as bombs into the middle of our lives. The family is disrupted. We don't know. We get confused about what the real meaning of Christmas is all about. And then resources go in short supply. Patience wears a little thin. Joy, which is pretty good, and everybody was excited at one time. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. And then after a while, it just sort of fades away. And we're not quite as joyful as we used to. Charity, which is never in great supply, is the first to run out. Generosity, doing pretty good for a while. But, you know, after a while, you can't take care of the whole world. You can only take care of yourself first. So even generosity begins to fade. And greed begins to flow into the storehouses of our lives like a fog under the door and around the cracks of our very being. And we begin to wonder if we're going to be able to hold out too much longer. Is your faith challenged by the war, by this siege? Do you know the promise? Do you believe in the promise? Or do we seek worldly allies? Help us defend ourselves against the enemy. Allies like partying and drinking and overeating too much and presents and presents and presents. Do we believe in the spiritual? That which we cannot see, cannot touch, cannot measure. The only way we know it's there because we feel it in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. We may not even know how we know what we know. Do we believe in what the world calls ridiculous and stupid? A virgin giving birth to a child? A young woman conceiving by the power of the Holy Spirit? A peasant, a poor woman, giving birth to a king in a manger? Do we believe that God is among us as a baby? Not as a warrior on a mighty horse, not constructed but conceived, begotten, not made. Do we believe that God is among us as a baby, that he is one of us? Do we trust that God knows what he's talking about? Common sense says you're on your own. We're under siege, and not just from Christmas, but from the pain and the sorrow, the greed and the avarice, the self-centeredness of the world around us. Faith, on the other hand, says hang in there. Trust the Lord. Stand in faith and confidence before the Lord, even if nothing makes sense. Even if nothing in this world and what the church is talking about makes sense to the world, hang in there. Joseph did. He had to feel betrayed. Mary was pregnant. The whole town, the whole world knew it, or would soon enough. He had to feel like he was under siege. Mary, his betrothed, the one that he loved more than anything else, had given herself to somebody else. Mary, his wife, Mary, his betrothed, Mary, his everything. The one who had that look for him, you know what I'm talking about? That look of love, that look that he knew or thought that he knew was just for him, Mary, that Mary. The Mary that he had talked about plans and dreams and hopes with. The Mary that everything he lived for. The Mary that he wanted to have more than anything else. The Mary that he could not have now because of one word. Pregnant. And so he decides to do the good thing, the nice thing, the courageous thing. To put her aside quietly, to divorce her. To endure the shame and try to get on with life. But then Joseph hears it from the Lord. And in a dream, an angel, a messenger comes and says, it's okay. Because the baby is of the Lord. The baby is of the Holy Spirit. And you will call him Jesus. Joseph had seen the sign. And he knew that like Ahaz, that he had to stand firm in his faith or he would not stand at all. Faith tells us that we have to hang in there in spite of the siege. Even when we are asked to do the impossible, like love somebody, like love that unlovable neighbor, or to forgive the unforgivable family member. He calls us to move beyond what we know, beyond the hate and the anger and the trouble, the lack of trust in our lives, the righteous indignation that is ours, and everybody would give it to us because of the pain and the sorrow and the hurt that they have caused us. We have a right to be angry at them. But God asks us to move beyond any and all of that in order to be able to find a new beginning, a new hope, to feel God's Spirit moving in us, to hear the angels speaking to us of love as Christ loved us first, of forgiveness so that we can be forgiven, of going beyond ourselves and putting others first, dying to ourselves and then giving it all away. Christmas is the promise that we can stand firm in our faith, even under siege, any siege. For we have been given a sign. For unto us a child is given. Unto us a son is born. And his name shall be called Jesus. For he will save us from our sins. He is Emmanuel, God with us, even in the siege. Amen.